All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. I'm talking bowl games, SEC teams in bowl games. Some other college football news quickly. You know, Brent Deerman was named the North Alabama head football coach. He's got some ties to Auburn, Gus Malzahn, Lashley. He just hired yesterday Deshaun Davis, former Auburn linebacker who had been back coaching in Mobile as his linebacker coach. We mentioned Phil Longo as offensive coordinator to Wisconsin from North Carolina. And along with that, Drake May had to hit social media yesterday and just remind everyone that he was going to stay put. So Drake May, North Carolina quarterback, who's had a lot of success this year, 35 touchdowns, ACC player of the year. He said, could never leave this place. I'm a Tar Heel. Emoji shaking hands.
Gotcha.
That means you got a deal done to stay or?
Deal. Don't know.
Deal. Also, per Brian Howell, Brian is a reporter that covers the Colorado Buffaloes for Buff Zone. I don't believe that is a website dedicated to Buff Bagwell. And the Boulder Daily Camera. Also, his bio reads, author of several sports books.
Okay. Maybe like a tie. Getting active over there, I see. Okay, well, congratulations.
Is that a humble brag, or is that just basically Ron Burgundy bio?
I've authored
many sports books.
Several books. Congratulations.
What else have you done? I've authored many sports books.
Throw me a title out there.
He is reporting that Alabama Associate Defense Coordinator Charles Kelly will be the next defense coordinator for Deion Sanders in Colorado. Not a big hit to Nick Saban per the 7 defensive coordinators at one point in time in their career that are on the Alabama staff this year. I feel like they have enough defensive prowess to be able to overcome that.
Should be.
They will be just fine.
They should be fine.
Charles, great coach. Happy for him. He was mentioned in the Auburn search, in which they could not seem to be able to locate someone who will serve as defensive coordinator. We'll see how that goes. Still searching for that one.
Still searching.
Yep. North Texas quarterback Austin Un plans to enter his name into the NFL draft. He's 29 years old. So someone is getting a veteran presence day one.
See, that's what they're
Austin
missing.
Austin Ani?
And that's what they're missing in the Austin NFL Uni? Locker room now. Vince, well, whoever, quality Vince.
Whoever it is, you get your veteran right now. And another one that we have not mentioned yet, we'll go two more here. Auburn defensive lineman Marquise Burks announced he will enter the NFL draft. Now, collectively, you look at this and you say, oh man, Burks, Wooden, Hall, Papo going to be gone. That's 15 of the 26 sacks for Auburn this year that are gone. 41 and a half of the 62 tackles for loss that are going to be gone. Problem is, Marquise Burks didn't have a sack and he had a half a tackle for loss this year. I just read the numbers.
That's it. That's all.
That's all I can
impact.
Do. I don't.
Potential. You got to go get it. Got to go get it. So, congratulations.
And like we've said before, there are instances in which folks are told that might be your best option. And only missed one game this year, by
okay,
the way.
So he's healthy.
13 tackles. But sometimes guys just say, maybe test out those other waters. Portal's there for a reason.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. Like, transport port.
Okay, moving on. Mississippi State had some news come down yesterday in a lot of different areas. So Cameron Young announces that he's going to enter the NFL draft, but he will play in the bowl game. That's good news. Bad news is running back Dylan Johnson takes to Twitter yesterday with a graphic.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know these graphic departments. They stay busy.
They're locked in.
Dylan Johnson had 89 carries, 488 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 48 receptions, 285 yards, and did a pretty good job blocking when he was asked to as well. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God for giving me the opportunity to showcase my talents at a college level. Without him, I am nothing. Secondly, I'd like to thank my family and friends for the endless love and support they've shown me throughout this season. To Mississippi State University, my teammates, trainers, amazing fans, It's been an honor to participate in this program with you all. Together, you guys have helped me build my character and skills tremendously. With that being said, since I'm not very tough and Leach is glad I'm leaving, I will be entering my name into the transfer portal with the hopes of finding a more fit playing environment for me. Thank you. Autographed, Dylan Johnson. One more time. Since I am not very tough and Leach is glad I'm leaving, I will be entering my name into the transfer portal with the hopes of finding a more fit playing environment. Okay. There are a lot of different directions we can go here with this one. I don't think any of us are fans of, well, maybe in sports talk radio we are, airing out your dirty laundry in public. Not always the best idea. There are better places for that. I do feel like that there are maybe other schools that will look at this and say, eh, maybe not. NFL teams look at this and say, eh, he's neck and neck with this guy. We'll take that guy.
Right.
So that could, is it going to keep him from getting drafted? Is it going to keep the team from taking him? No. Is it a bad look? Kind of. But I do think if we begin to collectively look at taking up the folding chairs and dropping them, talking about fat little girlfriends, and now things like this, like things are beginning to pile up a little bit for Coach Leach. Just a little bit. Like there are collectively some things that are beginning to look like that might not be as much fun as it sounds like. But we're not there every day. We don't know.
Exactly. Like we don't know. But I get it too.
But I will say this. Watching this kid play, tough enough
not a question.
Is not a problem.
Not a problem.
I mean, this dude has been a bulldozer for them at times.
Facts.
Because it's not like they run a lot of variation in the run game. Most of it is hand the ball and go straight ahead.
Find a hole.
I mean, that's about what they run.
Pretty much.
They added a little off-tackle deal, but, I mean, it's pretty simple. And this is not a kid that I watched on film and wondered if he was tough.
Right.
I'm just had a chance to talk to him this year. He's got a child. He's proud of that. But I thought he gave pretty good effort. And we've now seen this toughness thing a couple of times, like hope that our receivers, kids, grow arms or whatever he said with that whole thing.
Yeah.
You're starting to get more and more evidence that this might not be the yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me environment that a lot of people think it is in Starkville. Like, this ain't Candyland over there.
No, it's not.
But at the same time, like, this probably doesn't really help you either. If you wanted to make this statement, go get drafted, and when you sit down with a team for an interview and something comes up about playing in college,
right?
Then you just say,
yeah,
let me tell you what it was really like playing for those guys.
Exactly. And and you get it because, granted, he is a running back. Like, it'd be something different if you know, like, Will Rogers comes out and says something like this. Like, wait a minute. Well, as a running back, I could see the meeting probably saying, hey, coach, you know, next year, could you possibly think about, you know, incorporating the run a little bit more? What are your plans going into next year? Maybe in the exit meeting, you're saying, like, hey, coach, can we find a way to, you know, work some more touches for the tailbacks? And I just imagine Leach saying, you know, probably not, and just kind of looked at it like that. Or you could transfer, and he's probably like, you know what, coach, I think it may be best that I head on out.
You're playing in an air raid offense. You called games for an air raid offense this year. You can't be a running back playing for an air raid team and say,
right,
where are my touches, coach?
True. And he also, I mean, you got to think, he also had an impact in the receiving game. Like, it wasn't like he didn't get a lot of touches. It's, okay, maybe you just want to run the ball a little bit more. Which is, okay. You go to the Big Ten, get your touches up there. It'll be a little bit colder, but you'll have your 30 to 40.
He wears the hoodie under his pads. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. He'll be good.
He's prepared for that.
He's made for it.
Listen, he's a guy I'd love to have on my team. Right. Just the way he runs the ball.
He's toting that thing.
But it does make you wonder, all right, do I agree with the tactics? Not necessarily. But also, it should probably open our eyes a little bit to this is not exactly what a lot of people think, at least for some guys. But, hey, who knows what's going on? And I want to know who made the graphic, because I don't feel like Mississippi State's graphic department put this one
down. I don't think they will type that part. Make sure you put hey, he said I ain't tough, and he glad I'm gone.
He had to go get the Hayes Fawcett kid to make this one for him.
It's like, excuse
me. The recruiting guy. Hey, I need some help here.
It's like, are we sure we putting that? Yeah, put it down. They're going to like this. Yeah. They're going to like this.
All right, so SEC teams in bowl games. Is there a matchup on the surface that you look at and say, I'm excited about that one? And I get it. I know, you know, we might not be able to. We don't know who's going to be playing. There might be guys who sit out. There's still guys going to hit the portal. I get it. I understand. Okay? It's fine. But are there just matchups on the surface that you look at and say, yeah, I'm excited about that one? I'm anxious to see kind of what this game looks like. Like I'm Alabama K-State, like I'm interested in that game.
I'm interested in the physicality of that game. Because now you look at how a lot of Alabama fans, they were supporting Kansas State and beating TCU, like, hey, we could possibly get in. And now you saw them beat TCU, and now you're about to face them. And also, again, who's going to be on the field can determine how that game is going to look. But on the surface level, and looking back at how the season went, Arkansas and Kansas, because are they still going to be locked in and loaded, knowing that they didn't really have the best season that they were looking for in 2022? But you follow that up with a bowl game win, and Kansas, you know they're going to be motivated, because Lord knows, like, it's been a minute since we've seen them compete in a bowl game, so they're going to come out and play well. So I think when you look at 2022 as a whole, this bowl game kind of puts a nice little mark of, all right, well, Arkansas didn't finish where they at least thought they would be in 2022. And Kansas, they're like, damn, we're glad to even be here. So they're going to come out ready to play. And I just want to see how that would be between Lance Leipold and Coach Sam Pittman.
Yeah, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, and Kansas will have a chance to get healthier. They haven't been healthy in a while here towards the end of the season. And Arkansas, kind of same thing, but then you're not going to have Bumper Pool. You're not going to have Drew Sanders. KJ Jefferson announces he's coming back, so that's great news. Barry Odom is now the head coach at UNLV. I have a feeling that he'll take a couple guys with him, specifically Michael Shearer. I don't know if he'll go before the bowl game, but like that's Barry Odom's guy, and he's been the linebacker coach. And look how Bumper Pool played. Look how Drew Sanders played off the ball. Like Michael Shearer did a really nice job with that group. But that's Barry's, like, that's like his FU coach. Like, that's his dude. So played for him, coached next to him. I imagine he'll be the D coordinator at UNLV. He'll probably take that job. But that comes from Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium on December the 28th at 4:30 p.m. on ESPN. I would kind of still lean Arkansas advantage, because I know Cody Kinney's going to have that offensive line ready to go. I know Rocket Sanders will be there. And I know the ground game will be there for the Razorbacks. And I think that will give them a big advantage. Now, how does Kendall call this game? Because Kansas can get up and down the field with you. Do you slow it down? Do you try to kind of grind this one out a little bit? But I think that could be a massive advantage for Arkansas in this game. I think the ability to run the football consistently will be big for the Razorbacks. That's why I would probably lean Arkansas in this game. But I'm with you. Could be a very intriguing matchup, because you kind of want to end on a positive note where things were a little up and down from the middle of the season towards the end. I mean, it's like you ended the losing streak and you got the BYU win. Okay, great. And then it was kind of eh. And then you smash Ole Miss. That looks great. But then you lose to Missouri, who kind of had to have it as well. So then you go to the game that involves Missouri, Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. That's going to be Friday, December 23rd, 5:30 p.m. on ESPN from Raymond James Stadium. Wake and Mizzou. Well, we've already seen Dominic Lovett portal, so that's one of your big weapons that's gone. Now, quarterback grew a little bit towards the end of the season. Can break you down with his legs, do some good things. That defensive line is going to be a problem. Wake Forest, slow developing, walk the dog RPO game, a defensive line that can get into the backfield.
Something's going to have to give.
But we said the same thing about Clemson. And Wake still put touchdowns on Clemson. So I don't know if I love Missouri in this matchup, because the reason that I would say that D-line has been a headache for everybody that they've played. And the quarterback's gotten better, and that's great. But we said the same thing about Clemson and Wake, and Clemson got into the backfield. Clemson caused problems, but Wake still scored touchdowns. And I don't think there's a massive differential between the secondaries with Missouri and Clemson. So that's going to be, I think that could be a competitive game, an interesting game. I might actually lean Wake a little bit right now. Not final pick, but I'm just leaning there a little bit. Right out of the gate for the SEC, next Saturday, December 17th, Florida, Oregon State, from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. I have a very, very bad feeling about this game for Florida. One, have not fit the run well all year. Parentheses, Oregon State runs the ball really well.
Extremely.
They are going to come right at you.
Yeah.
And they will do it in a physical manner in which it has not appeared as though Florida has liked very much this year.
Nah.
Gervon Dexter, out. Anthony Richardson, out. I don't know if Osiris Torrance is playing or not. Don't have a good feeling is all I'm going to say.
That's it. And it's real. Like, it's
like kidding, not on the team. I don't even know what you're doing at quarterback.
That's what I was about to ask. So
keep in mind, when we had them against South Florida, a game they almost lost. We could have lost if not for a bad snap. Two bad snaps, technically, because one shotgun snap put them back and had to go for it. They would not run Anthony Richardson in that game because they didn't want to have to play Kitna. Now Kitna's not even there. So what are you now? Had a couple of guys hit the portal as well. I have a bad feeling about that game for Florida. I'm just going to say, bad feeling about that game for the Gators. It doesn't feel like a comfortable situation.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't.
It doesn't. Even on the surface level. Especially with Oregon State and the way that they played this year. Like you said, physically, the only game I've really got a chance to watch Oregon State was the comeback against Oregon. Like, I sat down. I was
Where they didn't throw the ball for four straight drives?
Oh, my God. And it was
came back from, 31 points down?
I was like, wait a minute.
That doesn't happen.
They lined up and was like, nah, big dog. Like, if y'all can't stop us running the ball.
Here it comes.
What's happening? And here is all
they're going to run
smoke.
That stretch play, and then they're going to run inside zone, and they're going to make you pay for it.
Yep.
And it's not fun. And that will be, again, that Florida defense has not fit the run well all year. They've been out of position. And they have not liked to physically handle a lot of what other teams have done. And now you're going to get a team who is probably not going to lose a bunch of guys, probably not a bunch of guys leaving early, that loves to get after you. So I'm bad feeling about that game right there for the Florida Gators. The not going to have our tight ends bowl, which will be played at TIAA Bank Field in Jacksonville, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, also known as Notre Dame in South Carolina. I'm really interested to see this one, by the way, because no Austin Stonger for South Carolina. No Jaheim Bell for South Carolina. You got a couple DBs that have hit the portal. But you lose Marcus Satterfield, your offensive coordinator. He's going to Nebraska with Matt Rhule. What's the offense even going to look like? Who's going to run the offense? Are guys like Juice Wells going to play? The defensive line against Notre Dame's offensive line could be a really fun matchup. It could be really good. And if some of the explosive, if Marshawn Lloyd, he should be healthy and he should be back, he should play. If some of the receivers play, I think South Carolina's a good chance to pull this upset. But depending on where their mindset is, how many guys are checked out, how many guys they actually lose, I don't know. It's intriguing right now just because I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But if certain pieces are there, then I'm going to want to see exactly how it plays out.
Yes, and if Tennessee Saturday night, Spencer Rattler shows up. If that shows up, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Like it'll be tough.
Well, or the Clemson minus two throws Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, right.
And he overcame those two picks and then looked brilliant down the stretch. So, but I would think with extra time that and here's the problem with Spencer Rattler. Like, I think he should come back.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think a lot of folks in South Carolina thought he was going to come back until the Tennessee game and the Clemson game. Then I don't know where your mind is. But maybe Beamer goes to him and says, hey, we're going to have a little bit of a meet in the middle here from an offensive coordinator perspective. Like, Satterfield was on the Gruden end, the far end of verbiage is like a paragraph for each play, as opposed to Lincoln, who is like Red 30, like Raider 7.
Right.
You know,
simplified.
So maybe you meet in the middle and say, hey, we're going to give you a little bit more user-friendly offense. It's going to allow you to be more successful, not going to have to process as much, but you need another year of development before you come out. Look at the young guys that are already coming out. You're not going to be taken ahead of them. So, like, what would Spencer Rattler's best case scenario be if he came out right now? Like, middle, late, third? Best case? I don't think he's sneaking into the second.
Uh-uh.
So, you come back and put things together. Don't turn the ball over. People know what your talent level is.
Facts.
Now you look like you can handle things at an NFL level, and maybe you find a way to go and be successful and get drafted earlier. So,
and something else, and we could talk about it later on too as well. Something that I've thought about just being in the bowl games and people sitting them out or if you're playing in them. Just I wish you would kind of go into what it was like playing in bowl games and watching opponents that you haven't seen pretty much all year, but then you get on the tape and it's like, okay, well, this is what we have the advantage of. And how many bowl – you played in four bowl games in all 4 years you were there?
No, I played in three, Independence Bowl, Peach Bowl, and Citrus Bowl.
Okay. And, like, you had different opponents in all three of them. So it's like, what is it like seeing a team that you probably were hearing about all season but never got a chance to see, but then getting into the bowl season, it's like, oh, okay, well, now we get to see them on tape and get into the mindset of going in the bowl practice.
We can do that on the other side. Tell you about some of my bowl experiences and then the preparation, because some of the preparation was pretty cool and pretty different. And we've got an abbreviated Rubik's Cube coming up for you this hour as well. First, I want to tell you about Backyard Adventures. We were looking for a playground for our kids for a long time, couldn't find one. Finally went to Cahaba Valley Road and found out that Backyard Adventures had exactly what we needed, and it was all assembled. It was all put together. So we could immediately go let the kids play on it. Jump, climb, swing, slide on all the different options. And then said, well, we want that slide, but we want the rock wall. Or we want the picnic table, not the tire swing. And Jeff said, no, we can customize it. You get what you want. They're like the Burger King of playgrounds. You have it your way right away. And when I say right away, it's because they come and put it together. You don't even have to assemble it. That was the best part about Backyard Adventures. You've heard GMAC talk about the basketball goal they did for him. They can handle installation for you. They come prep it, get you ready there. Adjustable goals with the nice NBA regulation backboards. They can do it all for you. But if you want one for Christmas, you need to act now because the appointments are filling up. It's great quality with a fantastic warranty to back it up. And if you want Santa to deliver this thing, you need to call now. 408 to number 4 fun. That's 408-4386. Now, Jeff wants you to go see what they have. He wants you to purchase a playground, but if you want this for Christmas, he wants you to get going immediately because he wants to be able to help you out. BackyardAlabama.com or 408, the number 4 fun for Backyard Adventures. All right, we'll talk bowl experiences when we come back and then get to an abbreviated Rubik's Cubic for this weekend. There's not a ton, but there is some football coming up. We'll discuss it next right here on McElroy and Cubic in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. It is 8:27 a.m. Thursday, December 8th, right here on Jocks 94.5. Listen online, jocksfm.com. And don't get caught in the cold. Schedule your system checkup now for a Trane Comfort Specialist. You know you can always count on a Trane home comfort system. That's why Trane is America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC. And they're our official heating and cooling partner at Jocks. Visit Trane.com to find a comfort specialist near you. Remember, it's hard to stop a train. All right, so bowl experiences for me. You're talking about the preparation part, Damien, and that's one thing that was really weird about the Independence Bowl in 96 when we went. Now, I was a redshirt freshman, so I didn't play, but the preparation part, I was on scout team offensive line, which made it really weird because we played Army. And obviously, they're running triple option. It was actually a pretty good Army team. And we had our hands full in the actual game, but I can remember we had Ryan Hooker from Pontotoc, Mississippi, who ran the triple option in high school, and he could fly. And he ended up moving to DB, moving to receiver. It never worked out for him to a certain extent in any of those positions, but he could run. Like, if he played quarterback in today's college football, he would be a dude. And so he knew exactly how to run it. Like, he knew the mesh. He knew how to pull it, when to pull it, when to cut up field. And he shredded our defense in practice every day, every single day. And I can just remember those guys, how frustrated they were, like Ricky Neal and Taquio and those guys. Like, man, they were just like, what? Like Jimmy Brumbaugh, Charles Dorsey. they were frustrated because they, like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
And they had some success in the game. We ended up winning the game, but it was the preparation part was interesting just because we hadn't seen a triple option team all year. And then all of a sudden you get there and it's like, whew, this is different. And I saw Vanilla Ice perform twice in Shreveport that week.
Okay, that's fun.
If you haven't been to Shreveport, and if you go to Shreveport and you're underage as far as getting on the boats to gamble,
it's like
there's not a lot.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. And so we were made aware of some warehouse party where he was performing, and this is when he was in his little grunge phase.
Oh, okay.
So that was awful. And then there was a New Year's Eve party after the game.
I can only imagine.
That we were invited to, and he performed there as well. And that was equally as terrible. But you wanted to be where people were.
Of course. And like, you 17, 18 years old. 19.
Unless you had a friend who had a military ID with a guy who was bald that you slightly resembled, you couldn't really get in to go gamble.
I feel it.
May or may not have had that advantage. But also, when you're broke and you don't know how to gamble, the worst thing to do is to go to a casino.
Exactly.
That's a bad idea.
Recipe for disaster.
So, yeah, Shreveport trip was interesting. Peach Bowl in Atlanta. We had been to Atlanta. We had just gone, but we were in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, so we just went back. So it was kind of like ho-hum. You know, Tennessee finds a way to win that game. They're going to the Orange Bowl to play Nebraska, which maybe slight blessing in disguise.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that game was like 55-10. Nebraska kind of put it on them.
I think they just pulled away a little bit later.
Okay, maybe we ended up winning the Peach Bowl against Clemson, so that would have been good. I remember Anthony Simmons was a guy that I had to prepare for, linebacker, and did not realize that he was going to be as big as fast as he was. Like, just next level dude at Clemson. And, you know, we had so many guys from Georgia and from around Atlanta that it was almost like they had all these activities for us, but every day there was a bunch of guys that were just going to do their own thing. Like, as soon as practice was over, we're out.
Like, they had the crib.
Yeah, just... because everybody had their own guys. Mm-hmm. And their crew was around, and they just wanted to go do their own thing. Citrus Bowl was pretty cool because, you know, we prepared for Michigan. That was a good Michigan team. That was Drew Henson, Anthony Thomas at tailback, David Terrell at wide receiver. Jeff Backus was on that team. Steve Hutchison was on that team. Like, they had a lot of dudes to play in the NFL. All of them on offense, by the way. Not many guys on defense. And so you see them, and they're one of the teams that a lot of people talk about all year. And you get in the game and you're like, these dudes aren't very fast defensively. Now, I didn't play against the offense. So, like, David Terrell was a dude. Anthony Thomas was legit. Obviously, Hutchison was big time. But you're playing against that defense and you're like, man, I'm able to reach this nose guard, like, no problem. And these linebackers are not flowing near as fast. So, we moved the ball up and down the field, and it was just kind of, they ended up scoring a few more than we did. But I just remember that defense not being anywhere near. Like, we played Florida twice that year. Like, Gerard Warren was the third pick in the draft, nose guard. And it's like, this ain't the same. This is not.
Players are built different.
Played against Stroud and Seymour at Georgia. Ooh. Like, this ain't the same. It's like, you guys don't have Willie Blade at Mississippi State. Like, this
you're,
is not.
You got the gap out.
There's no Cornelius Griffin at Alabama. Like, no. It was really different. Like, really, really, really different. But the trip was actually really cool too, because I remember Tuberville said, he goes, all right, here's what we can do. We can have 80% of our practice here at Auburn, and you get to go home for Christmas. But then we're only going to be at the bowl for like 4 days. Or we can practice here for 4 days, and we'll be at the bowl for a week and a half, but you're going to miss Christmas. You're going to be at the bowl for Christmas. And it was almost a unanimous vote that we only practice at home for like 4 days, because we actually would have more days off at home. It just wouldn't be on Christmas. And so we had to go down there like the 24th or 23rd. And then, cause Christmas Day, they took us to Disney, and like the team we got like the fast pass and all that. It was really cool. I thought it was going to be like a free for all, like Christmas Day. Nobody's going to be here. It's going to be great. So we walk in and the lines are a mile long to get in. Yeah. Thankfully they let us go to the front. We were in. And it was jammed everywhere, jam-packed everywhere you went. And I just remember I stopped and asked one of the employees, I was like, it's Christmas Day. And she's like, oh, no, this is our busiest day of the year, by far.
That's wow.
A lot of tourists come to Orlando and go to Disney for Christmas Day. And so It was cool to be there, though. And then we stayed at a really nice place. Got to do SeaWorld, met Shamu, got to do all the amusement parks. So, it was an awesome trip. And, you know, preparation was, you know, they were a team that didn't do a lot. They just kind of, they were pretty stationary. Like, they kind of ran their 4-3 defense or their odd defense, and they didn't really move around a whole lot. So the preparation wasn't difficult. And then, like I said, once we got into the game, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And that was, there weren't a lot of games that were like that. There weren't a lot of games that you got into and you thought you were going to get something and it just wasn't anywhere near what you thought. That was, for me, one of those games. Most of the time, it was the other way around. You see a guy and you're like, oh, this dude's strong enough. He looked on film. Or, man, he's actually got some quicks. I didn't think he'd be able to move that way. But that game was not that. But also being the last one, it was just kind of cool, you know.
You're soaking it all in, just, man.
Just kind of, yeah, enjoying all of it. And Tuberville did a good job of, like, they would scrimmage the younger kids at the end of practice, so we didn't go near as long. The older guys didn't go near as long as you normally would. And then we're coming off an SEC championship game loss there also, and Florida went to the Sugar Bowl to play Miami. That was 2000 Miami, right before 2001 Miami. And I still think that 2000 team may have been better, but, like, I was Dan Morgan and those guys, like, I'm pretty sure they smoked Florida pretty good in that game. Like, I want to say that was like 49-10 or something.
Goodness gracious, Lord.
Yeah, so we got
right.
We got a jail on that one too.
Like, man, okay. Y'all avoided a little bit of disaster.
I would have rather have been in the Orange Bowl than the Sugar Bowl, but it's right. Kinda like, it may have worked out for the best. Man, it may not be so bad. Not such a bad deal. So that's kind of bowl experience for me. And it's why I say, like, I remember going to SeaWorld with Ben Leard and Alex Lincoln and Clifton Robinson and Damon Duval. Like, we got to feed Shamu. Like, when are you ever going to get to feed Shamu again? Like, how cool was that? You know? Like, I remember, like, going to Disney on Christmas Day with my teammates. When, I'm never going to do that again.
Right.
Like, it's like nothing like that's ever going to happen. Like, some of those nights in Orlando going out, some of the nights in Atlanta going out. Like, I going to my buddy's house just for dinner in Atlanta that lived around there, like T.J. Mears' place with his folks. Just, you remember those things. Those are the memories that you remember. Some of the practices were really fun just because you change up practice. Different guys get reps and get to play, do different things. So that's why I always say, like, I know you fans want to say bowl games don't matter and they're meaningless, but some of the things that I talk about, that's what you remember. Like, that's what sticks out. Like, being in Shreveport, Louisiana for New Year's Eve. It's not the most fun place, not the coolest place, but it's like with your teammates, you're going out finding things to do. Oh, Vanilla Ice? Yeah, we'll go check it out.
Right.
That was terrible, but we did it.
Right.
We can say we did it. Oh, yeah, we did it twice. Okay, it happened. Dave in Hoover wants to talk bowl games. Welcome in, Dave.
Yeah, earlier I heard you guys, the guy called in wondering if Saban's going to, like, you know, really not worry about the bowl game when he's trying to work on players for next year. Listen, when you lead the country in recruiting 3 out of 5 years, you got the Jimmys and Joes coming in. You win games, and if you've ever played, if you've ever competed at any level, you don't ever think about that. That's not something you do. But I look at Alabama. I look at Kansas State winning this game straight up, and I'll tell you why. Kansas State is really – they see a perfect opportunity to really make a team look bad or pedestrian. And so my problem with Alabama is all year has been no leaders. I don't know who the leaders on that team, and I'm not talking about captains that have been appointed for the coin flip, but you don't see Will Anderson running up and down the line of scrimmage. You don't see him on the sideline getting in people's faces. And I think that's been the problem with Alabama this year, is the fact that they don't have leaders on offense and defense. I see Bryce Young smiling. I don't see him mad at anybody. I don't see him getting anybody's face. I don't just see him taking over. And I don't see it on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's been their problem. So I like Kansas State straight up in this game because Alabama really don't want to be there.
Dave, let me ask you a question, though, because I've thought about this myself, and I think Greg and I have talked about it before on the show. How often is that happening anywhere in today's college football?
A lot. I mean, you know, it's...
No, I'm talking about the leadership part. I don't think that there's near as many guys who can go up to another guy and grab him by the face mask, or go grab the guy by the back of a jersey and say, no, you get over here and you do this, or you stop acting that way, get out of the coach's face. I think a lot of players are hesitant to do it because they think they'll just leave.
Yeah, well, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, those guys did it last year. You know, Jordan got out of bed and got out of practice, went up and knocked on the door, grabbed the kid out of the bed and threw his butt out on the practice field. It was not the practice field, but in the training room. And that's just, I don't know. I just feel like Alabama all year on the defensive side of the ball, as good as they are, you know, talent-wise, they've underachieved. And I think there's truly unique leaders on that team to make everybody accountable, you know. And I just don't see it. And
no, Greg has reiterated that, and Greg has said it. He's like, listen, I think Bryce is an amazing kid, but he doesn't come off as a that kind of an alpha leader. He just not his personality, which if it's not your personality, you don't want the guy to be that because then he's not being himself.
Well, he's pumping his face. He's smiling. Everything's great. But, you know, what happens, you know, when you're third and nine and the game's on the line, you got to have something. He goes through the motion, and he's a great athlete, and, he does all the things. But I just think he could be a little more of a leader in that area. Right. Will Anderson as well.
Appreciate the call, Dave. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so get to a break. When we come back, abbreviated Rubik's Cube, brought to you by Resurface Pros. Again, 205-421-5035 for our friends at Resurface Pros. They can help you out, and they bring us the Rubik's Cube each and every week. One of these games we're going to talk about, Damian and I have a little more intimate knowledge on. We'll share that with you on the other side. I have intimate knowledge on Michelson Laser Vision because 20 years ago, it's actually over 20 years ago now, I called 205-969-8100, set up a consultation with Dr. Mark Michelson, found out I was a candidate for the LASIK procedure. I didn't want the glasses, contacts, cases, solution. I was over it. I was done. Didn't want to deal with it anymore. Thankfully, Dr. Michelson said, you're a candidate, had it done. I knew he was a national pioneer in the field, first surgeon to perform it in the state of Alabama. Had it done, quick, easy, pain-free procedure, and I was back at work in a day. I walked in legally blind, walked out, felt like my vision was perfect, and I feel like it's still perfect over 20 years later. Now, Dr. Jennifer Michelson joined his practice right there at UAB Highlands for comfortable and convenient care. They're rooted right here in Birmingham, members of our community. They want to serve you, the people of Alabama. Surgery and treatment is going to be located right there at UAB Highlands. They offer comfortable and convenient care there, variety of easy and affordable payment plans. And when you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, the cost you're quoted for treatment, what you're going to pay for everything, surgery, recovery, post-op visits, all of it. You guys know how I need to see each and every weekend for my job, and I'm able to do so because of Michelson Laser Vision. Call 205-969-8100 or visit MichelsonLaserVision.com for more information. Rubik's Cubic coming at you next right here on McElroy and Cubic in the morning.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. I had a real creative way to go with this from a personal perspective, but I'm not going to do it. Benjamin Franklin's a punctual plumber.
My fault.
It was there. I had it.
I know.
I had it loaded, and I just said, you know what? No.
Can't do it.
Put it down. No job too big or small. They service residential and commercial projects. Phone answered 24 hours a day by a real person. Everybody licensed, multiple master plumbers on staff. Now, you may hear that and not think that's a big deal, but if you call a different plumber, ask them, say, you got master plumbers on staff? Not everybody's going to be able to say that. Office staff worked together for over 15 years. Lee, Chris, Susan, Jeff, they know exactly what you need, when you need it, and who to send to be able to help. And they're going to send them quickly. Why? Because if there's any delay, it's you they pay. They offer a major discount or no charge for being late outside the time frame given when you schedule that appointment. Water leak repair, they unstop drains and sewer lines, replace all water and drain lines, water heater repair, even a bathroom remodel, and they've got that Benjamin Franklin Club for just $8 a month where they perform a safety check of your entire house as well as maintenance on your water heater once annually. And that agreement comes with 15% off any repair at a reduced cost for the diagnostic fee. BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com, BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com, or call 205-982-7775. Right there in Pelham, here to help you with any plumbing needs. 205-982-7775. Not a ton of football this weekend. We've got some FCS playoffs. We got Army-Navy. So we get to the Rubik's Cube now, brought to you by our friends at Resurface Pros. Don't replace resurface countertops, tubs, tile, and more. They can look brand new at a fraction of the cost of replacing. Just call 205-421-5035. You call Contact today, they'll give you an estimate within 24 hours. Make the old tub and tile look brand new with Resurface Pros, 205-421-5035. All right, Army-Navy first. We know it's a massive matchup for a lot of different reasons. Damian, plug it in.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
We know these teams can run the ball. Army runs it at a clip of 304 yards per game.
Goodness gracious.
Second best in college football. Only Air Force runs for more yards per game. Navy comes in at seventh with 240 rushing yards per game. Now, the big differential here would be rush defense. By the way, game played at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, so no home field advantage for either. Rush defense, Navy allows 86 rushing yards per game.
Oh, wow.
That is fourth best in college football. Army allows 194 rushing yards per game. That's a double up in favor of Navy.
Oh, boy.
Turnovers, plus +3 for Army, plus +4 for Navy. Not enough to really move the meter and be a differential either way. Penalties, as you can imagine, probably not going to be a lot. Navy has the fewest penalty flags in all of college football. Folks, 38 penalties on the year.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that low now. Like,
think how many teams we've seen have double-digit penalties in a game this year. They've got 38 on the year for 311 yards. It's 28 yards a game. Best in college football. Army not too far behind. 52 flags for 417 yards per game.
Hey.
Advantage, Navy.
Whew.
47% on third down for Army. It's really good. 39% for Navy. That's advantage Army. Third down defense, not very different, but 41% of third downs converted allowed by the Army defense. 37 by Navy, by a margin of plus +1, and a little bit of a surprise here. The Rubik's Cubic selects Navy to knock off Army. I did not expect that. I did not expect that when we sat down to put these together. Didn't think that that would be the outcome of this Rubik's Cubic. Navy just 4-7 on the season. Remember that.
You could throw. You definitely could throw the record books out the window when this game is
There's
played.
No doubt.
There is no doubt about that.
So let's go to the FCS level. Again, Rubik's Cubic brought to you by Resurface Pros. Cracks, chips, don't worry. Their team can repair or resurface damaged cracks. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to replace it. Call 205-421-5035. That's 421-5035. Samford is traveling to Fargo. They'll be in the Fargo Dome to play North Dakota State. Damian, plug it in.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
Rubik's Cubelic.
I'll spend a little time previewing this game a little bit later. Damian and I grounded on about an hour of tape of North Dakota State yesterday. And it is... Woo! Home field advantage. Fargo Dome goes to North Dakota State. The Bison. 277 per game on the ground for the Bison.
And the way they do it. Good job.
136 for Samford. That is
advantage Bison.
Advantage Bison. Samford allows 174 game on the ground. North Dakota State 146. That's advantage Bison. Both teams plus +10 in the turnovers.
Yes, sir.
So both teams pretty good in the turnovers. Samford 72 flags for 645. North Dakota State 65 flags for 623. Not a lot of difference, but a slight advantage to the Bison. 49% on third down for Samford's pretty good offensively. 53% for North Dakota State, so a little bit better. 40% allowed by the Samford defense on third down, 39% for the Bison, so no offset really there by a margin of +3. The Rubik's Cubic selects North Dakota State to advance in the FCS playoffs. I just read the numbers.
That's all it is.
Rubik's Cubic brought to you by Resurface Pros. Don't replace. Resurface, countertops, tubs, tile, and more. They look brand new at a fraction of the price. Call, contact today. Give you an estimate in 24 hours. They make the old tub look brand new. 205-421-5035. Resurface Pros. 205-421-5035. Okay. So we watched this North Dakota State team a little bit yesterday. Good Lord. This is a nasty group.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Hunter Lipke, fullback, not going to play. That's good news for Samford because he is a bulldog. Like he is a literal bison.
Yes.
In a football uniform. But he's out, so that helps. Doesn't matter because it feels like they have 11 fullbacks and 22 tight ends that play for them. They just keep rolling them in over and over and over. And my goodness, that offensive line gets after it. I mean, big, physical, nasty.
They have players missing teeth on the offensive line, big dog. That's self-explanatory. Like, we have humans in 2022 out here missing their front two teeth, putting their hand in the dirt.
All right, so I tweeted the guy's bio from the school's website. I'll go retweet that now from the Mac and Cube account. So you can get a look at both kind of how they operate, and then the guy looks like an overgrown hockey player that – like, somebody responded to it and said, "You're lying. That's a hockey player that had too many sandwiches."
Like,
yes.
He looks like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Exactly.
Exactly like him. They ain't seen that air raid.
He kind of plays like him, too.
They hadn't seen the Samford air raid, though.
That's fair.
They hadn't seen that air raid.
And that offense can flat get it. It could be. This is the epitome of contrast in style football game. Coach Wim Sanderson next.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.